Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
What up, clones? Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. As always, absolute honor and thrill to be here. I was driving up the 405 today from the South Bay in L.A. where I live and just struck by, I guess 6 years ago, I made that same drive in a rental car. And I think it was a Tercel heading to Jim Rome's CBS Sports Network TV show. The reason that I've come full circle sitting here. Don't worry, the Tercel had a sunroof. It was an 89, I think. It was real classy. Certainly fit my style. As always, the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage, by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Little breaking news for you. We'll get to this in maybe 30 minutes. Good news, I think, for the Suns. Really bad news for the Lakers. Monty Williams is going to be the head coach in Phoenix, which means Ty Loser. Excuse me, that was rude. I apologize. Ty Lue. No, he's Ty Loser. We know it, right? We all know it. We can be honest with each other here on the program. Ty Lue will be the head coach of the Lakers very, very soon. And that pattern of LeBron James sycophancy will continue. We'll hit that 35 minutes. Mitchell Trubisky, Bears quarterback, in 15 or 20 minutes. Exciting for me as a Bears fan. Have an opportunity to talk with what feels like a pretty bright future for the Chicago Bears. We'll get into the Lakers in 35 minutes here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Neil O'Shea. I think Neil O'Shea, incredibly underrated. GM of the Portland Trailblazers. An organization that's been snake bit in part by their inability to recruit stars to complement Lillard and McCollum. And in part, when you run into the Warriors year after year, you can't make those runs. An opening now. We'll talk to Neil an hour from now, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific time, and get into, and I think it is the inevitability of Portland beating Denver in that series. Houston's window is closing. The Rockets' window is closing. The talented James Harden and the talented but difficult Chris Paul, they're playing more this weekend for more than their series, for more than trying to claw their way back into competition against the Warriors. If the Rockets don't get it done, if they don't find a way to advance, and they won't in this NBA playoffs, what's been built by Daryl Morey in Houston will add up to absolutely zilch. We'll discuss that. Dan Plesak will be on the program. But I want to start with a bizarre, and I'll be honest with you, a shocking game. Felt like Toronto was going to win this series. Felt like the addition of Kawhi Leonard, who I think you can make an argument, second best player in the NBA when he's healthy. And Kawhi yesterday, an absolute machine in Philly against the Raptors. Or against, excuse me, the Sixers. 33 points, 13 of 22. Incredible defensive energy. And yet a Sixers team that hasn't liked each other at times this year. That has the talented question mark that is Joel Embiid. And that felt overmatched, at least in the first game of the series, didn't just win. They dominated that game, 116-95. And Philly played great, there's no doubt. Jimmy Butler, 22 points. Every one of those starters in double figures. Embiid played like an MVP. But I was trying to figure out, what is it about Toronto that's not adding up? You have a team that made an Eastern Conference Finals Game 7 a few years ago against LeBron and the Cavs. You swap out in DeMar DeRozan, maybe the most popular Raptor of all time, but a guy without much of a jump shot. And you bring in Kawhi Leonard, not just almost 100 postseason games in his career, though that's true, not just the second youngest NBA Finals MVP in the history of the game after Magic Johnson, but that's true, but a closer and a two-way player. And I think the answer, as it turns out, is that the Toronto Raptors, and I was trying to think of an argument against this earlier today, preparing for the program, preparing for the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder with you. The idea in my head that Kyle Lowry might be the worst postseason player in the history, at least, of the modern NBA. Last night, Lowry, who is the number two on that team. I know Pascal Siakam is the guy lately, played well in this postseason, was really good last night, recovered from some inefficient games, 7 of 15, 20 points. But Lowry's a guy that's been through the battles and been through the wars. Lowry's a guy that has failed in the postseason. That's supposed to, if you're a winner, if you've got what it takes, That can often be the catalyst for greatness. And instead, Kyle Lowry, and we're going to call him Kyle Lowry here on the show because he pulls his team low. Lowry undercut everything the Raptors are building. Think about the stakes and the pressure. Masai Ujiri, who's the president of operations in Toronto, traded away the most popular Raptor of all time for a one-year rental in Kawhi Leonard. Now, I don't think Kawhi Leonard's staying in Toronto even if they hoist that trophy. I don't. And a lot of people around the NBA don't think Kawhi Leonard is staying. But you lose to the Sixers in the second round of the NBA playoffs, and it's over. You're a Clippers fan, you're a Nets fan. Be cheering for Philadelphia. And be praying that Nick Nurse, the head coach, continues to put Kyle Lowry, bringing his team low, in that game. And afterwards, Lowry talked about the obvious, he's got to be better.
Me personally, I got to play better. I mean, I can't go out there and shoot 2 for 10 and, you know, miss open, you know, threes. But, yeah, we're getting good looks. You know, look at the film, see where we can get better looks. And they're really just everywhere over the floor. And we just got to, you know, start being executed a little bit better and, you know, making them pay for the randomness that they're doing.
Oh, Lowry's got to be better. Well, that solves it. Thanks, Kyle. That's really helpful. Kyle Lowry, and I like the guy. Good dude. Easy to root for. And he's subtraction the sum of all human joy in the postseason. Let me give you a few of his performances before last night. That 7-point dud. 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting when they were down to the Cavs 3-0 in last year's postseason. 11 points on 5 of 14 shooting in game 7 of the first round in 2016 versus the Pacers. In a Game 6 loss to Brooklyn back in 2014, 4 of 16. I'm a big believer that failure shapes success. And we've seen this before. We'll talk to Mitchell Trubisky about this in a minute. That heartbreaker for the Bears in this past postseason might be the fuel for a guy like Mitchell Trubisky and that Bears team to go to another level. Hell, Trubisky, Jared Goff, LeBron James in the finals all those years ago against the Mavericks. So many athletes' lowest moments, they will tell you, is a thing that reached them. Where they, in LeBron's case, he has told me and other folks, literally turned off the lights, laid in a dark room, and let the humiliation and the failure wash over them. And came out of that room understanding, you know what? It doesn't get much worse. I'm going to hold on to that feeling, and I'm going to use it as the fire to make sure it never happens again. But some players get broken. Some players can't handle, and not just players, right? All of us in what we do can't handle the failure and the embarrassment. I know that Siakam is important to what the Raptors are about. I understand that a team that was one of the best defensive groups in the country needed to do a better job. But Kawhi Leonard is the second best player, the third best player in the NBA right now when he's healthy, when he's locked in, when he's not going through some ugly, weird private divorce with the San Antonio Spurs. And when you have the best player on the floor, when you have a guy that's shooting better than 60% in a postseason series, when you have a guy who's doing that and he's also the best defensive force in the National Basketball Association, when you've got Siakam contributing more, sometimes the problem is someone in your locker room, someone on the floor, is felling the very idea that you can win because he's infecting the team with his own doubt. And that's Lowry. All this talk about the Raptors and whether they should have traded DeRozan, and of course they should have. You got to go for it. I love the boldness of Masai Ujiri going for Kawhi Leonard. The problem is, and we've seen this in Game of Thrones, right? Game of Thrones fans? If you're going to go to war, if you're going to wipe somebody out, you wipe out the entire family. You don't leave anybody or any reminder of what was before. Kyle Lowry should have been on the next plane out after DeMar DeRozan. Trade him for a Skittles and a Snapple. You can go kiwi, strawberry, whatever flavor you want. Get him out of town. Because the guy's a loser. I know it's a harsh word. People are so sensitive today. We're talking about professional sports. We're talking about a world where literally these guys are measured by who wins and who loses. LeBron James, at least until the Lakers, winner. Kawhi Leonard, winner. Last night, Sixers, winner. You know what you are if you're the opposite of that? If you're a guy that can never get it done? You're a loser. I like Kyle Lowry. Interviewed him a few times in my beat writing days. Good dude. And utterly incapable of playing like even a shadow of the player that he used to be. Or yet he has been in the regular season. Kyle Lowry is a huge part of the problem. Because what the Sixers did last night, yeah, they had their star in Embiid. But the Raptors matched that. They had their star in Kawhi Leonard. Every single guy that played for Philly, every single guy contributed and played with confidence. Hell, Greg Monroe was efficient for the 30 seconds he got on the floor. At this stage, and the Eastern Conference playoffs are fascinating. We'll get into the other series, Milwaukee Celtics, later. I don't know if all of these teams can beat the Warriors. I think two of them can. But every one of the teams that remain are good enough if they play, not even the best version of their form of basketball. They hit 90% over a seven-game series of making the finals. But you are only as good when you're evenly matched as your weakest link. And Kyle Lowry is that link. It's not about the three-point shooting, although Lowry didn't help 0 for 4. It's not about the bench not helping the Raptors. They were a little bit better, actually, yesterday relative to what the Sixers bench did. It's about the fact that when you're facing a team with three or four stars, Jimmy Butler's star, Joel Embiid's star, Ben Simmons, and I don't think the box score tells the tale sometimes, athletic freak, especially when he plays downhill, certainly capable of being a star. Tobias Harris kind of in that gray area. You need more than Kawhi Leonard. How often have we talked about LeBron James, how he doesn't get help, didn't get help in L.A., didn't get help in Cleveland? Well, you know what? LeBron's not the only superstar in the modern NBA where stars cluster together who require some assistance. Toronto can still win this series, but it's going to require something we've only seen one time in his career, when nobody was really counting on the Raptors. And pressure doesn't feel like pressure when everyone thinks you're going to fail. This is about Kyle Lowry. There was a time when Lowry was an all-star. There was a time when people talked about Lowry as part of a rising, dominant backcourt in Toronto. There was a time when people believed Lowry could be a contributor. He's the third best player on that team, but he's the second most important. Kyle Lowry, you got to show up. Because DeMar DeRozan's gone. And if you, the last of the two great Raptors, don't start playing basketball like you belong there, Kawhi Leonard's going away, and the Raptors are never again, not in the near future, going to be anything resembling what they are now. And that's an actual contender. That's a lot of weight to put on one guy, but Lowry is considered, and I think he is, the second best, the second most important, the second soul of the Toronto Raptors. And the other guys, the San Antonio Spurs, are probably golfing somewhere right now. Kyle Lowry, get it done. 1-800-636-8686. Bill Ryder filling in for Jim Rohn. Love being here. Twitter at Jim Rohn. I'm on there too. Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. JimRohn.com. Clones, I'm going to say this real quick before we get to Mitchell Trubisky. I'm one of you. Remember driving around Iowa, listening to Rohn again and again, and it is a thrill. It really is, and an honor to be here. So I'll do my best not to pull a Kyle Lowry today. You know, go 1 of 50. Feeling confident. Mitchell Trubisky, Bears quarterback. Talk about a guy that went from failure and ridicule to success. We'll talk to him about how that happened and the lessons he takes in trying to take those, it was a humiliation, right? Criticism, and turn it into the version of himself he wants to be. And we'll see. Maybe a Bears team that could be a contender. It's coming up on the program, the Jim Rohn Show. Bill Rutter filling in when we continue in a moment here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rohn Show.
Bill Ryder with you here on the program. Happy Friday, the Jim Rohn Show, filling in for Jim. You can call us 1-800-636-8686. Email us, Rohn@havetake.com. at Jim Rome on Twitter. JimRome.com is the website. I'm on there too. Sports writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Mitchell Trubisky coming up in a few moments. You know, Trubisky, and I'm a Bears fan, so there's a bias here. I was so hard on that guy that first year. I was so brutal to that guy. And it's a reminder, and remember this, Arizona Cardinals fans. Remember this. I was going to say Giants fans, but actually I think you guys are in pretty big trouble with Daniel Jones. And Redskins fans, it takes a really long time for a quarterback to figure out the NFL, to figure out the game. And that doesn't often jive and fit with the expectations that we have. We're such an immediacy culture now. Is this guy good today? How many people, and I was guilty, wrote off Jared Goff early in that process, forgetting a huge part of a quarterback's success is about the place that they land and the head coach that they have. Matt Nagy in Chicago, who was the coordinator in Kansas City and learned at the feet of Andy Reid. And whatever your criticisms of Andy Reid and his postseason performances, continues to be an innovator. For me, Trubisky's a reminder for a thing we don't do often in America. And I certainly have trouble with this sometimes on the show that I host at night, brighter than you, 6 Eastern, 6 to 10 Eastern, 3 to 7 out here on the West Coast. And that is patience, man. It takes time. I'm going to go after Ty Lue in about 20 minutes, to some of your chagrin. Not because I don't like Ty. Nice guy. From Mexico, Missouri. I went to school at the University of Missouri. From the Midwest. Played the Midwest. I'm from Iowa, originally. But because we gave him time. We saw what he was about. Criticism is warranted. And I think severe criticism of people in severely important positions. But sometimes we got to give them some time. Trubisky's athleticism and the need for a head coach, and it wasn't John Fox, who is going to at least put him in a situation to be successful, hugely, hugely important. The first few times I ever did television, bad doesn't really, I think, adequately sum up the level of awfulness that I brought to the screen. And the first time I did well, it was with Jim Rome, who I've talked about and why it's so cool doing this right now. Because Jim puts people in a situation to succeed. It helps to be around a pro. Kyler Murray being successful is as much about Cliff Kingsbury as it is about Kyler Murray. Daniel Jones having the opportunity to succeed with the New York Giants. I don't love the pick, but there's been a lot of picks that people have mocked over the years. The Trubisky pick included. Has as much to do with the Giants put around him. Culture matters. It's not a sexy sports talk radio topic, but culture matters. That Philly organization that dominated the Raptors last night created a culture from losing, years and years of losing. That Lakers organization that has the best player, and I think LeBron's still the best player on the face of the earth, has a dysfunctional culture that's been real, that's been a part of the process, been part of the deal, going back to the last time they won an NBA championship. And sometimes we lose sight of that. The biggest distinction between the Warriors and the Rockets, because they're both incredible teams. James Harden, the reigning MVP, has broken the game the last couple years to the same level that Steph Curry did it when he started redefining how three-point shooting worked. And whatever my criticisms of Chris Paul, the best, the second best, the third best point guard in the regular season we've ever seen. Culture matters. And that culture in Chicago, under Matt Nagy, incredibly significant to that Bears' success. And we're going to talk to a guy right now who knows a thing or two about it, thanks to our friends at Gone Rogue, Mitchell Trubisky, Bears quarterback. Mitch, what's going on, man?
What's up? How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you. Thanks for being on the Jim Rome Show. Just talking about culture and just the significance of it. And you're a guy that's played under a couple head coaches in Chicago. And focusing on the guy that's the head coach now, can you speak to how important the things we don't see is to a quarterback success, to a team success, this idea of the culture that's created before you guys ever step on the field?
Yeah, it's incredibly important. Coach Nagy has done an amazing job setting the tone for our culture in Chicago. It really all starts with him, his attitude, his competitiveness, his passion for the game. his ability to unite people and build team chemistry really throughout our whole building. So our team has just gotten closer and closer since he stepped into the building. We play with a lot more confidence and swag, and we always have that edge, whether it's coming out to practice, heading into the weight room, or being locked in throughout meetings. And it all starts with the head man, and it trickles down to everyone throughout the building. And he sets the tone, and everyone's bought into that, and it's made this whole process so exciting, and everybody wants to be a part of it. And we just want to keep rolling, and we would set our goals and expectations even higher this year and then go chase them and get after it. And so that's the attitude, that's the culture in Chicago, and if you can't tell, I'm pretty amped about it, and that's just how it is.
Bears quarterback Mitch Trubisky here on the show. Mitch, Bears went up and got you in that draft. First year didn't go the way that a lot of folks wanted.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a society that criticizes people immediately. For you, what was the process of trying to understand it was going to take you some time to be the quarterback you wanted to be, even if you're playing and competing in a world where there is no patience and the scrutiny is, it comes fast and it comes sometimes unfairly?
Yeah, definitely. That's just part of the process, part of the business of professional sports, especially in the NFL. The fan base, they expect immediate results. And as a player and competitor, you want immediate results too, but that's not always how it happens. So you just have to go in with that mindset that there's going to be growing pains, there's going to be adversity, but the positive mindset, the work ethic you bring day in and day out, how you treat people in your building is all going to result in how you could turn around that culture and get things going in the direction that you want them to. So you really just got to take control of your career early on and embrace the downtimes. And you just keep grinding and moving forward to get out of those low points. So it's not always going to be the way you want it to be early on in your career, but you just got to have a great support group. And for me, it's been my family, my incredible teammates and coaches, and just me believing in myself and my supporting cast believing in me too, just to keep going and pushing the envelope to get better and better.
Mitchell Trubisky here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Ryder filling in. Mitch, it's almost certain at a certain point there's going to be criticism to Kyler Murray. Every guy that was drafted as a quarterback high in the NFL draft at some point comes under the microscope. Daniel Jones already under the microscope. What advice would you give those guys if they got to a point, and in New York it's already there, where people are doubting and questioning whether they're going to be successful before they've had a chance to really get their arms around the league? From what you've experienced, what's the advice you would give those guys?
100%. It is. At the quarterback position and in the NFL in general, it is inevitable that you're going to be doubted. You're going to be doubted and be told you can't do something at one point in time. Even if you've been playing for 10 years and are a future Hall of Famer, that you still have people in the media writing future Hall of Famers off or saying that they're done or saying that this guy doesn't deserve that or what. So the number one thing I would tell these guys is you got to block it out. You got to just focus on the main thing, which is football, and the people in your building. So block out all the media, all the naysayers, and anything that isn't positive in what you're trying to build within your team. So once you get with your team, the first thing you got to do is earn the respect of the people in your building. Everyone you come in contact with, learn their name, treat them with respect, treat them very, very well, and earn the respect of your teammates and your coaches through your work ethic and how much you care about the game and the organization you're now with. And once you get people bought into who you are as a person and they want to support you as a person, then you show them how you can play on the field. And then all it comes down to is how you perform and how you produce for your team and how you're handling those pressure situations. But I think if you just earn the respect of the people in your building, continue to stay true to yourself and to the game, usually it all takes care of itself if you just work hard and do the right things.
Mitchell Trubisky, I'm a big believer in your business, even in my business, that no matter how talented you are, you have to be lucky and you have to work for good people and work with good people. For you, as a
Absolutely.
Quarterback, and I know they're both important, and you've had the good fortune of having both these things in spades, but if you could choose one, what's more important to a quarterback with talent being successful in the National Football League, your head coach or the guys you're throwing the football to, handing the football off to?
Ooh, I don't know if you're asking me to choose between those two. They're definitely so important But if I had to label him 1A, 1B, I think even my coach would agree because he has no ego and he's selfless in it. Well, it is all about the players, and it's all about my teammates. So they deserve the credit for our team's success and even my success. They make me look good. My O-linemen, they give me time. They make the holes for the running backs. My receivers make the plays. And our coach is the one who orchestrates everything. So I think even Coach Nagy would agree that it's the players, but our head man, Coach Nagy, has deserved so much credit for all the success that we've had this last year and getting this thing turned around, and we're definitely all excited for the future. So that was a tough one.
Yeah, so we got to throw one tough one at you. Mitchell Trubisky here on the show. Mitch, year three, different look to the offense a little bit. Some guys coming in, some guys going out. Jordan Howard, one of the guys who's gone. Bears go up and get David Montgomery out of Iowa State. They move up 15 spots to nab him. What do you expect this offense to look like? How do you expect it to operate maybe a little differently or improve from last season?
Yeah, definitely. I expect the offense to be a lot smoother, just better execution across the board. We're going to have a better plan of what we want this offense to be, what we think we're good at, and also what we need to improve on coming from last year. So everyone's bought into the plan. We're working really hard to everyone master their jobs, and we're going to get these new guys caught up on what they need to do. But at the end of the day, we want to have clean execution, but be even more explosive as offense. And that just comes down to executing your job and getting these amazing playmakers the ball. So we've got a great offensive line, and they make everything go up front. And we just got to get these awesome playmakers and all these guys we drafted and got throughout free agency. Just got to give them the ball in open space and let them roll. And if everyone does their job, we could be pretty special.
All right, Mitchell Trubisky, last question for you. I just moved from New York to L.A., and I'm trying to get healthier, right? And Gone Rogue, it's a product. It combines the crunchiness of a potato chip with the protein-rich benefits of jerky. All of those things I need. Can you tell us what you're doing with Gone Rogue?
Yeah, it's awesome. I've teamed up with Gone Rogue High Protein Chips, and it's really the best new snack out there. It's that crunchy, salty taste that you're craving in between meals that you need a snack on, but it's also very high in protein. So we got 17 grams of protein per bag. It's very healthy. They got all these awesome flavors. My favorite is barbecue right now. So it sounds like it's too good to be true, but it's actually amazing. The product is made from lean chicken. It's been smoked and then baked, and it's thinly sliced. So that's how it gets the crunchiness, and it's just that perfect snack in between. And it's been good for me training in the off season, getting that extra protein before or after workouts. And I'm very excited to be teamed up with them, especially since they're a Chicago company. So go ahead and get your Gone Rogue high protein chips on Amazon. And live that healthy lifestyle you want to, man.
Mitchell Trubisky, congrats on the success. Congrats on proving the doubters wrong. Thanks for hanging out here on the Jim Rome Show.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you having me.
Mitchell Trubisky, proof you can't judge these guys based on a single season. Great year last year. Bears organization headed in the right direction. The opposite direction of the Los Angeles Lakers. By the breaking news from an hour ago about who the Phoenix Suns hired as their head coach, unfortunately tells the tale that one of my favorite people in the NBA, Jeannie Buss, may not be up to the task of carrying the weight and the burden of living in her
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you, filling in for Jim. Awesome to be here. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the clones, get to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/askthepros and submit your question. Be listening later in the show when I might answer your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. 1-800-636-8686, RomanHavitake.com. Get to a few calls here in a moment. Some breaking news this morning that made me sad for Jeannie Buss and the Los Angeles Lakers. And made me excited for the Phoenix Suns. Suns are a really interesting team with an interesting future. And if they land that number one overall pick and presumably roll in Zion Williamson, Monty Williams, the new head coach, has the opportunity to be pretty successful. But the reason this is a real problem for Los Angeles, and why, for the first time in 3 or 4 years, I'm beginning to doubt one of my favorite people in the NBA and Jeannie Buss, is because Monty getting the job in Phoenix means Ty Lue will be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. And here's the reality about Ty Lue. Here's the truth about Ty Lue. When I was covering the NBA day in, day out, everybody knew, that before David Black coached a single regular season game in Cleveland, Ohio with LeBron James, he was already angling Ty Lue for that job, was already undermining his head coach. Whatever you think Ty Lue is on the floor, he's just a political animal who understands the value of sycophancy to LeBron James. And that's a pretty good place to be if you want to orbit his orbit a little bit, because the people really in LeBron's orbit are actual friends. It's not bad if you're trying to produce a television show these days since LeBron's gotten into that business. Or if you want to get into the clubs a little earlier and you're the eighth guy on that roster. But as the head coach, one of the most important and promising and difficult jobs in professional sports is coaching LeBron James. Every ounce of opportunity is massive that comes with coaching him. Comes with some peril, too. Ask the coaches he's gotten fired. Ask Eric Spoelstra if you can get him in a private moment, who he tried to get fired. Rolling in someone whose primary job qualification is being obsequious to LeBron James is not success. And the reason that it's a problem for Jeannie Buss is because Jeannie has gone through nothing but a series and a process of mistakes since she really took the helm of the Lakers and fired her brother. I think Jeannie's smart. I think Jeannie, in a normal situation, could be a great owner, because usually owners don't operate over a 2 or 3 year learning curve, but it can be decades. They own the team. But the fact is that in 2019, at a time where family-run businesses meet sports organizations don't work, the dirty little secret around the NBA is that the Lakers can't figure it out. There's a lot of doubt that the Buss family will own this team in the next generation, if not this generation. The infighting, the ugliness, the politics. Jeannie Buss hasn't been able to do the hardest thing there is to do when you have power and you have influence and you matter in sports. Think about how often we criticize LeBron James for his so-called hangers-on. Why can't he just see people for what they are? Why can't he just do the right thing? Well, you better apply the same level of criticism to the person that owns the team he plays for. Magic Johnson betrayed Jeannie Buss and left her in the lurch. She's going to tweet out photos about dinner last night? Are you kidding me? A report came out 2 days ago that Linda Rambis is the shadow owner of the NBA. You know why that's shocking? That it didn't come out sooner. Shadow owner of that Lakers team. She is. Because Jeannie turns to people that she trusts and turns to people that she knows. And I understand that. You understand that. But at a certain point, you have to stand on your own. Magic Johnson didn't care about Jeannie Buss except beyond what he could get from Jeannie Buss. And he left. You know why Rob Pelinka is the GM? A guy that is widely doubted in terms of his ability to be successful in Los Angeles. A guy who was such a cutthroat agent that other GMs don't want to deal with him around the National Basketball Association. You know why he has that job? Because he got Kobe Bryant way too much money his last couple years in Los Angeles. And now the rumors and the whispers that maybe Kurt Rambis could be the GM of the Lakers, that's Jeannie's best friend doing that whispering, and it's a problem. Jeannie Buss, and I've talked about this, wants nothing more than to live up to what her father passed on. Dr. Buss, I would argue the greatest owner probably in the history of professional sports. Didn't just create Showtime, but recalibrated the very particles of how we think about professional sports and entertainment and that merging. LeBron James and his whole acting, producing, greatness thing is the fulfillment of Dr. Buss's vision. And Jeannie may not be up to the task. And it pains me to say it, and I hope that I'm wrong. I said this on my show yesterday, Ryder Than You, over on CBS Sports Radio, that if she hired Ty Lue, it was over. Because it would be clear she doesn't understand that you have to start trusting yourself. Not LeBron, not Magic, not Rob Pelinka, not your best friend. Best friends are great, but the Godfather got it right. It's not personal, it's strictly business, and it hasn't been for Jeannie. Go and hire a general manager who wants to be a general manager. And let that person hire a head coach who wants to be more than LeBron James' yes man. Oh, LeBron, you want my parking spot at Staples? You can have it. LeBron, I'm really sorry that I drew up a play. You're right, my bad. That's not a recipe for success. And for LeBron James, who's already alienated from his locker room, and trust me, he is. You talk to sources around that Lakers organization. LeBron is neither feared nor loved in his own building. And bringing in a yes man's not going to change that for a moment. Jeannie Buss doesn't have that much time. And unless there's some kind of rabbit she's going to pull out of her hat, and I hope that she does, the Lakers' future and her ability to be the owner that I think she can be is over. LeBron, to quote a political story the other day, will eat your soul in small bites if you let him. Because the gravitational pull of everything that comes with him is overwhelming. I've been around it. I've seen it. You got to, right or wrong, you got to stay true to true north on your compass. And I'm not sure Jeannie has it. 1-800-636-8686 if you want to give us a call. This is pretty cool for me. Right? As a guy that's usually clones you, listening to Jim, being part of the show, loving the show from the other side of the equation, it's pretty amazing that I get to not just sit here but bring on a legendary caller. Trapper in Medford, Oregon. What's going on, brother? You're on the Jim Rome
Show. Hey, how you doing, Bill?
I'm great.
I got to tell you, if we can't have Jimmy to talk today, we got royalty, so thank you for pinch hitting, my brother.
Thank you.
All right, tomorrow, the biggest 2 minutes in sports, I got to talk a little bit about the Derby. And since this is a pony show, too, thanks to Jimmy. Well, tomorrow looks like we have the Bob Baffert Stakes at Churchill Downs, coming off last year's Triple Crown win with Justify. He's got three faves going into the race, otherwise known as the Kentucky Derby. I think after Omaha Beach's scratch, the new fave is going to be Baffert's game winner. It's going to go off around somewhere between 5-1 and 9-2. He was first in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, which made his bones, although he did lose to Roadster in the Santa Anita Derby. He's in the 16 hole, but he's got a cumber. He's a come-from-behind specialist. You give up nothing breaking from a long stretch with Joel Rosario. If he's on his mark, he's going to be tough to beat. Yeah, next you have another Baffert fave in Roadster going off somewhere around 5-1. As I said, he won the Santa Anita Derby, where thankfully no horse had to be put down. Sidebar, Mike Smith, one of the classiest guys in the jockey room, Bill. He jumped off Roadster, as we all know, to mount Omaha Beach, which has since been scratched, leaving, I guess, last year's Triple Crown jock without a mount. To his credit, Bob Baffert is going to stand pat on leaving Flo Giroux. On Roadster, call it poetic justice or just plain crap luck, but it sucks for you, Mike Smith. Last then, you have Don't Hold Your Breath, Improbable, another Baffert colt and favorite. He's going to go off somewhere like the others, around 5-1. He's an early speed colt. He has a good number 5 in the post, which gives him something to work with. And so which Baffert horse do I pick to win Where the Roses on Saturday? Nah, can't do it. I've never been a chalk guy, and this Derby's no different. I'm going with Tacitus, coming in somewhere around 10-1 tomorrow, but I think that'll drop. I loved his run in the Wood Memorial, coming from deep in the back stretch. Looked like bumper cars at Palisades Park back there, to quote the great Jerry Eisenberg from Jersey. He also won the Tampa Bay Derby, and you know I have some fondness in my heart, as the clones know, for Tampa Bay. And yeah, Silk, it stays here. Trainer Bill Mott is an all-time great. Jose Ortiz will be sporting the garland of roses when it's over. And last, so, Ray, I know you're going to swing in today, and you're going to probably jump on one of the Baffert sweethearts. Say it ain't so, Joe. Much love to all of the people out there in the jungle that have been so supportive of me and a battle that's going on. I got my mouthpiece in. I'm in the center of the ring, and I'll make the bell for the 12th. God bless you all. Billy, great job. Tramps like us, babe. I'm out.
Trapper, thank you, brother. Thoughts and prayers, man. I love it. All right, you help me. I got a Kentucky Derby party tomorrow. A lot of mint juleps. Kids parked in front of a movie theater. They're bringing in bartenders. I need a bet. I need a winner. I'm going game winner. Trapper's going to bring me to some money. I love everything about that. Get to fill in on the Jim Rome Show. Life bucket list. And you're bringing me the opportunity to make some sweet cash money. I'm in. Neil O'Shea, Trailblazers GM, coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio's Jim Rome Show.